This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa ba'd. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today I want to briefly talk to all of you about a very important characteristic that that's not only very close to my heart, but also I think it's the bedrock of how we as Muslims should behave. I know there's a lot of emphasis these days, and rightly so, people saying that we need to teach our children, we need to teach the younger generation, and we as adults also need to have good character, to have good akhlaq, right? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ Prophet ﷺ says in an authentic narration, verily I have been sent in order to complement, to perfect the best of manners. And the wording that the Prophet ﷺ used here is to complete, to perfect manners. So in other words, there are many good manners across cultures, across regions and different people. However, the Prophet ﷺ is refining those manners. So when we talk about having good manners with people, when we talk about having good adab with individuals, whether it's with our friends, whether it's with our colleagues or Muslims, non-Muslim, we have to remember that the first set of adab, or the first source that we gather our inspiration from in terms of having good character is having good adab with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to have good etiquette with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what does this mean when you say that you have good adab with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And it comes to my mind a couple of things that I want to share with you. So having good character with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can come in three ways. The first way is how we think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us in a hadith Qudsi that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I am the way how my servant perceives me to be. If he perceives me to be good, then that is for him. And if he perceives me to be bad, then that is for him. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be how you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be. Of course, this hadith is not a free pass that for someone who hasn't been doing their responsibilities and doing what is their, in other words, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This doesn't mean that a person can just say, well, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as being very, very forgiving, therefore, you know, I can just continue to sin my way through. No. But it's just simply saying that we should have hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should not think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a tyrant, wal'iyadhu billah, or that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mean, or that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is malicious, or that he's trying to get people back, and so on and so forth. So this is the first level of adab, the first level of ta'addub ma'allahi azza wa jal, the first level of having manners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the way how you think, right? That you think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the best way possible, okay? Then there is also the second aspect, and that is by your speech, of how you have adab with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the prophets and the messengers, they all had amazing adab in their speech with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is, if you look at the lives of all the different prophets and messengers, we find that an incident occurred during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we'll give you some more examples, that during the time of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was a drought, and as you know, it doesn't get any better when they're living in a desert. So there was a drought, and some of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they said to the Prophet sallam, ya Rasulullah, make dua for us, right? Make dua for us that we will have rain. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua and the rain started coming down. And it kept raining and raining and raining and raining, and it probably went on for multiple days, if not even a week. One man had walked into the door of the Prophet ﷺ's masjid and he asked for the rain. And the Prophet ﷺ made dua. And of course, the Prophet ﷺ's dua is immediately accepted. And then, when the rain continued and it started flooding, a companion came in through the door and he said, halakatil mawashi, right? All the livestock and the field, they're all ruined, etc. It's just the water's too much. The Prophet ﷺ, he didn't say, Allahumma amsik anna al-matar, like, oh Allah, stop the rain from us. And even the way how we look at weather these days, right? When the weather gets a little wet or it's a little windy, you know, we're like, oh, we just wish that the stupid rain would end. The Prophet ﷺ always viewed rain as barakah, as a beautiful thing. And so when there was a lot of rain, he had adab, he had manners in the way how he addressed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so he said, Allahumma hawalayna wala alayna. He said, O Allah, let the rain be around us, in the surrounding areas, and not directly upon us. And he says, Allahumma ala al-akam wa-dhraab and wa-butoon al-awdiya wa-manabit al-shajar. Right? So here, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's saying, O Allah, around us and not directly on us, عَلَى الْأَكَامِ, O Allah, let the rain be upon the foothills. Okay, al-akam are like foothills. And wal-dhirab. So dhirab is sort of like highlands, right? They're like, well, actually, I don't want to say highlands. They're sort of like medium-sized hills. So akam and dhirab are very, very similar in meaning. I would say like knoll, okay, knoll. K-N-O-L-L, right? Knoll. So these foothills and small knolls, O Allah, upon the valleys and the gullies, etc. So upon these valleys and the wadis, and as you know, wadis are valleys, and it's also an Arabic word that English has used, okay? وَمَنَابِتِ الشَّجَرِ, and the forest woodlands. So here the Prophet ﷺ is not saying, oh Allah, stop the rain, I don't want it anymore, it's just too much. He had adab with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He instead wanted the rain to go to these distant lands because that's where rain is stored best. When it goes into the rivers, the valleys, the canyons, that's where rivers collect and farmers and shepherds, they can benefit from it. So just by looking at this phrase, the Prophet ﷺ had such adab with Allah Azza wa Jal, and that is, he, even when the rain was becoming difficult for them, he didn't say, oh Allah, stop this rain, this is just too much. He said, oh Allah, around us and not directly upon us. We also find other examples. For example, when Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was describing Allah Azza wa Jal to his people, he says, وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ, and if I am sick, then Allah cures me. Now, of course, we know in Islamic theology that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created good and he has created the opposite of good, and that is evil. But Allah, like we said, Allah creates everything in pairs. So when there's good, there's going to be evil. Now, part of the adab that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, part of the manners that he said that he had towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that he didn't attribute evil to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a creator of good as well as its opposite, yani evil. So he says, وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ, and if I get sick, he didn't say, you know, if you make me sick, then you're the one who cures me, right? But in all the other verses before that, if you look closely, the verses all talk about what Allah is doing, okay? وَالَّذِي أَطْمَعُ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ لِي خَطِيئَةِ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ, right? I am the one who I want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive. He is the one, and in the verse before that, right? He is the one who feeds me, right? But here, when he is referring to sickness, he doesn't say, if you make me sick, then you cure me. So this is having manners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is in terms of speech. And one more thing I want to add on to is when it comes to the way how we speak about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how we speak, it also includes dua. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us in an authentic narration on the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he says that there is nothing more honorable, okay? There is nothing more honorable or more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than dua. In other words, when we go around and we ask people for things, people get annoyed. People get really, really fed up, right? You keep asking, like, why do you keep asking me? But when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah likes that you ask Him. Allah loves that you ask Him. Allah doesn't get annoyed when you ask Him, right? In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us through the words of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that when you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alihu fi du'a. In other words, be forceful, be yearning and forceful and extremely strong-willed in the way how you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you're not saying, oh Allah, in shi'ta faghfirli. Oh Allah, if you wish, then forgive me. But you say, oh Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, ighfirli. Right? Oh Allah, directly forgive me. Right? You don't say, oh Allah, if you like, then you forgive me. Because there's a tone of arrogance, right? Oh Allah, if you want, be merciful to me. No, but you should directly ask. And that's the speech, this adab that we have towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that when we ask Allah, we ask Him directly, we don't associate partners with Him, and we ask sincerely, and we don't mince our words with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like when you assign partners with Him, and you go through an intermediary, an idol, something else between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you say, you know, oh Allah, you know, because of blah, 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 this, you know, because of this idol, you know, the Quraysh used to do that. They used to ask Allah through an idol, right? And they used to say, we don't worship these idols except to get us closer to Allah, right? مَا نَعْبُدُهُمْ إِلَّا لِيُقَرِّبُونَ إِلَّا زُلْفَى, right? That we don't worship them except to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those words that they used to utter were very offensive because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to be direct in your dua. So that's the second point. So the first thing we said is, in the way how you think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you think of Allah in a good way. That you don't sit there and think of Allah in a negative way as this evil God that's going to come after you, right? To have good husn al-dhan about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second thing we said is how you speak, and we gave example of the adab that we have towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the way how the prophets did it, as well as the dua. And the third important thing in regards to having adab with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our action, right? And the greatest, most beloved thing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our manners towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to not associate partners with Him, right? Inna shirka la dhulmun azim. Verily, shirk is a great transgression. It's a great transgression. So the greatest form of adab that you could have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is by an ta'budallah khalisan liwajhi subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely for his sake, right? Sincerely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in a hadith qudsi, ana aghni shuraka yani shirk. I am not in need. I am the most free, right? I am most free to ever need an associate, a partner, right? So whoever associates me with another false god, as Allah tells in Hadith Qudsi, taraktuhu wa shirku, then I leave him and his sin of associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's the greatest adab in action, that we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another aspect of adab, that you have good manners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he tells us in a narration, I don't have the narration in front of me, but I remember the wording of it, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, on the day of judgment, there will be people that will come, and they will have so many mountains of good deeds, of hasanat. And unfortunately, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make those deeds blow away into the wind. فَجَعَلْنَاهُ هَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا, right? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to blow them away into dust and they won't count at all. Why is it that their good deeds that they did in their life don't count anymore? And the Prophet ﷺ tells us the reason being is that when they were private, alone by themselves, right, they would engage in sin. They would engage in haram acts. And that's why it's very disrespectful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that in public that you would behave in a certain way, but in private you would behave in another way, right? And that's sort of the meaning, the gist of what hypocrisy is, right? Obviously, this is nifaqun amali. This is a hypocrisy of action, not a hypocrisy of faith, right? Because a hypocrisy of faith is completely unacceptable and throws you out of the fold of Islam. But hypocrisy of action is, you know, that you behave in a certain way in front of people in public, but you behave in a certain way completely different, and you approach and you do those sins in private, right? So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us, and that let's remember that the best source to start with in learning good manners is our dealings with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At-ta'addub ma'allahi azza wa jal, to have good manners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you think about all these categories that we have said, number one, having good character, thinking good about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is what Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam expects us when it comes to dealing with people as well, right? So not only do you think good about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but you are also required to think good about individuals, the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When it comes to the way how we speak, we don't hurt people, right? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, the Muslim is the one who doesn't harm other Muslims with his actions or with his speech. Okay? So, in the same way, the Prophet ﷺ is teaching us that the adab that we have with other people is in line with how he teaches us to have adab with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for the case of a dua and asking people for help, that's the exception to it because we don't want to bother people. But of course, the Prophet ﷺ always teaches us that if someone does come and ask you for help, that you go and help them because you will bring happiness to them, right? And also, when it comes to having manners, at-ta'addub, manners with people, how do we benefit from our manners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in action? That we do our best, that we don't hurt people, that we do what is good for them. You know, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه, right? That you love for, that you none of you have truly believed until you love for your brother what you love for yourself. So all the manners that the Prophet ﷺ teaches us regarding having good manners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is all echoed in as a foundation in the way how we behave with other people, with exception to dua, because dua is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we conclude here. Jazakumullah khair. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who have good adab, good manners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that He counts us among the righteous. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Shalom la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum.